Well, good morning to you. Friday, November the 26th. How are you doing? Welcome aboard to the NASPAN FM 100 Talkback. We're breaking for the weekend, something we always look forward to, yes? And getting into our discussions this morning, I'm just sort of, we'll be introducing my guests as they make their way into the studio. Our guests for this morning. In the next hour, though, we're right on the back of what would be, again, the 20 days of human rights activism. And this week, there's been a lot of discussions around the 20 days of human rights and the activities that are earmarked on the calendar. Started off as with the International Children's Day on the 28th of November. And we also had the other day, the day before yesterday, in fact, the 24th, would have been the PNG Counselor's Day. And the counseling services that we have for survivors of violence and the violation of their human rights. Yesterday, in fact, so we took a look at the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, the 25th of November. And so we're riding on the back of that with our discussions. But in the next hour, when we speak, as we speak of the 20 days of human rights activism, I've got interesting impact coming from the Juvenile Justice Service, from the Department of Justice and Attorney General. We take a look of juvenile justice, and particularly on the back of the day, International Day for Children, marked on the 28th of November. That's coming up in the next hour. A panel discussion will take place as well. For now, though, on the back of the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, we take a look at the second discussions we've got here with the conversations around the PNG Churches Council and the various other organizations that come forward, in fact, to discuss this. And particularly, of course, you'd remember our discussions around the UPR, the Universal Periodic Review, earlier this week, and on the rights of children. This morning, in fact, we extend the discussion to violence on women, and particularly so gender-based violence and the equal participation of women, that call, in fact, for the equal participation of women. Where are we, in fact, in light of the national general elections coming up in months' time from now? There's been much talk about Parliament, where it is now. The 10th Parliament, probably by far, you would see, in fact, that there is not one representation on the floor of Parliament by a woman. We've gone back to square one, 10 steps back again. We made progress when we had three or so on the floor of Parliament in the last elections, in the like of Lujaya Koza for Layopen, Julius Toso for Goroka Regional, or Eastern Highlands Regional, Ms. Delilah Gore from the Northern Province as well. And we were anticipating to actually hire that we'll make some representation, some progress for the call of women on the floor of Parliament in the upcoming elections back in 2017 or so. But guess what? We've gone back again to having absolutely not one woman on the floor of Parliament. Where does that leave Papua New Guinea in the campaign and the talk around equal participation? Okay, my guests this morning from the last time we had discussions, of course, Francis Murray from Murray's Brothers, and we also have Sister Alice Palencio. There you go. A little bit about Sister here. In fact, she's from the International Institute of Mary Help of Christians. There you go. And Daughters of Mary Help Christians, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, in that sense. And has been in the country missioning PNG since 2010. So a little over 10 years now she's been here in PNG. And a lecturer at the Don Bosco Technical Institute of Religious Education. All right. And yes, there you go. She's to 26 in or thereabout, yes? She's actually here in the studio with me, so is Frances as well. Sister Alice, good morning to you, by the way.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Douglas. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Now, how are you, by the way?
I'm very good. A little bit nervous because this is my first time. So I've been telling you.
No worries. All good, you know. I'll come to you. But Frances, from the last time we spoke, that was also your first time on radio, Frances?
Yes, Douglas. Yeah.
How did you find that discussion? So it wasn't on Monday morning.
Yeah, I think the discussion was very good. Actually, it's good that we disseminate, explain to the people how the Universal Periodic Review's process is, and they can understand that this is a process. You know, we got this all these complaints on Facebook. If you go on social media and about, you know, government or state or whatever, you know, it's used in terms of women, in terms of children. But there's a system here. There's a process, or there's a mechanism. So I am so super proud that, you know, I actually, a little did I know that such a process, such a process of universal periodic review, a very effective process is. And, you know, discussion on Monday, actually, I believe that, you know, we should the old process.
No, it was great. It was actually enlightening for me. Something I'm learning. I don't know, you know, everything. You know, and I learned from my guests who actually come to the studio and how you broke it up for me. I seem to have an idea now of the Universal Periodic Review and where it is now. Some international conventions that PNG has actually signed up to, and a sort of a checklist of where we are implementing those up to now. And the checklist, going through that review, we've gone through the third cycle, haven't we? Yes.
Yeah, as far as this is second.
This is the third cycle. And our discussions back then on Monday was around the rights of children. Yes. This time, in fact, we're looking at rights of women, and particularly gender-based violence and equal participation of women. And Sister Alice here with me in the studio. You've been here for a little over 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you finding your stay, by the way?
It's really, really, really great. And my friends have been telling me, and my co-sisters, they thought that, you know, I will not really last long. And they're surprised that I'm still here, and I'm still willing to stay.
Danny, as long as you're still here.
Yeah. As long as I'm in good health.
Absolutely.
That's like kind of a condition.
Yes, absolutely. When it comes to, and you take, you've been teaching religious education at DBTI, and a lecturer at St. Peter's Channel Catholic College of Secondary Teacher Education, yes?
Yes.
Religious education as well. When it comes to religious and, I suppose, looking at, you know, women issues in Papua New Guinea, from an overview, from the top, what's your view, I suppose, you know?
Okay. I will speak from experience, and I can say this very personal experience that I had with my students last year.
Okay.
When I was taking them on pastoral counseling, and I was really, shocked, you know, that most of them accept that the women, that is, accept that at a certain point in their life that they will be meeting with violence in their relationships in the future, or they are already meeting with they're already experiencing violence. I was really surprised to hear that.
Yeah, when they say that they expect.
They know. Mm-hmm. They know that they will be meeting with violence when they get into relationships, and some of them already are experiencing that kind of violence. To me, that was really a shock.
Why is that shocking to you? Is that something that's quite different from what you've experienced in your
life? Exactly. Because in the Philippines, we don't expect to be beaten up by whoever, you know, by the partner or by the father, or by, although we have that also, but it's not like, the shock for me was that it's accepted, it's a given fact.
Yeah.
Like, I said, so there needs to be a change of mentality there.
Mm.
And when I heard from the men's side, and they were saying that, you know, sister, it's our right to beat up the women when they are not doing what we are telling them to do. So that was another shock to me. Because I said, if you don't do that, so can we dialogue about it? Yeah. And we actually, like, took 2 to 3 days to discuss on this issue, and I hope that at the end there was a little bit of hope for me because there were some who were starting to open. Sister, thank you very much, because I think I'm starting to take a look at it in a deeper way, and maybe I am changing my view about this now after we have gone through this discussion. We actually had a debate about this one in the class.
I know it comes to a point where things that are not right, but over a period of time being practiced and nobody talks about it, nobody puts a stop, it becomes normal and accepted. And you find that, hang on, it's not right.
Yes.
And when you try to do the right thing, you're on the wrong side of the coin now. Yes. Everybody looks at you as being odd, really, in that sense, anyway. Just a tip of what our discussions would be on the morning radio. Sister Valencio, Sister Alice Valencio joining us as well. So is from the Catholic Mission, in fact. And particularly from the Internet Institute of Mary Help of Christians.
Christians, yeah, we're also known as the Ascension Sisters of Don Bosco.
Yes.
But we are the Daughters of Mary Help of Christians.
Yeah, all right. And also Francis Mara is here from the Marist Brothers as well. We'll start off probably when we go after this commercial break, Universal Periodic Review and how that stands up to our discussions on gender-based violence and equal participation of women. Okay, back to the Universal Periodic Review, and somebody very familiar with this, Francis Marai from the Francis, talk me through again, in terms of this review, the third cycle we're into now, and the reviewer of sort of putting a check and balance as to where PNG is in that sense. When it comes to women issues, again, in reference to the UPR, could you talk me through a little bit into that, if you can?
Sure. Thank you, Douglas, and thank you, listeners, again. Before I speak, I just want to make it clear that I speak for myself, the organization that I come from. The purpose of us, again, to be, like I said it on Monday, is to raise awareness on rights of children, women, and people living with disabilities and environmental protection. And also the raise of awareness on the universal periodic review and discussion on whether or not the government would accept some of those recommendations that are actually put forward by the member states. And I remember too well that we discussed partly on that.
And member states, there are like 193 countries in the world. Yes, PNG included as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that cycle, actually, about 60 delegates of those member states actually are the ones that recommend 161 recommendations which they put forward for this debt cycle. Of that, it's still a process going forward. We actually had an online conference kind of back in Geneva, they would say site event. If people will be go down to Geneva, and but due to COVID-19, we actually held a site event online site event. That's on 24th, which is 24th of this month on Wednesday. Actually, we did that, and we were so glad that you know the government rep to Ms. Bakura, she was there so online, and she did share, you know, what the government's position is, and also the UN rep as well. Was the online Mr. Lin. So yeah, we actually had a good conversation on that, and I think it's becoming clarity now for us, the NGO and civil societies, as well as government and the UN body, to actually finding a way forward. And there's a good conversation that time in Ireland, and I believe that going forward, there should be some sort of collaboration with them, that, you know, we can come together and try to find a way forward for all these issues, you know, concerning the women's, as well as their children and their environmental issues.
Yeah. Very quickly to this, of these 193 member countries, 60 in fact have put in some very strong recommendations. 161 recommendations, as you said.
That's right.
What would be from the top of your head recommendations that will make reference immediately to gender-based violence and women equal participation, especially in the country like Papua New Guinea.
Sure. If you happen to go online, if you happen to go online on the Human Rights Council website, you would have a working group, Universal Periodic Review document online.
Okay.
I have the copy here with me.
Okay.
So for
must be a massive document.
It's not really.
Okay.
So on page 11, there are quite a number of recommendations that were put forward by several other many of those member state countries, and there's quite a lot. And I can just run a few.
You maybe just take a couple of them, you know, in a way. It's something that actually pops up and makes almost the immediate reference to gender-based violence and equal participation of women.
And the recommendation number 6.142 on page 7 of that report, that was from the United States, as the member state recommended, investigate acts of gender-based violence, including domestic and sexual violence, and prosecute and punish the perpetrators. So that's one of the you know, one of the very important recommendations, I would say, which we as a nation, especially our judiciary system, we have to actually have a real overhaul of all that system, like make sure that we prosecute the cases that come forward for the women. So,
And that's probably where much of our problem would be, the prosecution and punishment of perpetrators.
That's correct.
Systems might be very slow, and, you know, depending on the sort of systems we actually have and the resources we have in around them. Can I come to you, Sister Alice?
Yes.
To gender-based violence. And we're looking at two issues here, GBV and women, equal participation of women.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at gender-based violence. A number of them there that Francis mentioned, but we're looking particularly at, for your case, falsely accusation-related violence,
yes,
and domestic violence.
Yes,
from your organization or from your perspective, I suppose, give me an idea of what the discussions are like in your space in handling SAR, for short, social accusation related violence.
Okay. In the discussions that we had for our own group in the in the UPR, because we represented the women's groups, we were saying that there has already been this national action plan on sorcery accusation-related violence that was still, I think, since 2015. But up to now, the implementation of that plan has not been really, has not really been put into place. And I think the first issue there, even in the last side event that we had, is still on the budget. The budget still has to be, you know, I think there was already a budget passed, but I don't know if that was already brought down to the secretariat concern. But there actually is already the plan. So as you were saying earlier, it's really a matter of implementation. And this one, our recommendation was to fight sorcery accusation-related violence by allocating sufficient funds for the implementation of this SARB National Action Plan and by raising awareness on this issue at the community level by adequately prosecuting the authors of such acts and by ensuring support and protection are given to the victims. Because sadly, as we know it, when those who are accused of sorcery are, you know, are just taken from their homes and are tortured and are killed. We have witnessed this. They are even on the papers, and we have even some gory photos of those who are hanging and being burned. And my problem is, I saw some of the photos that while they were hanging there, being burned, and the people were just looking on. To me, that's a very big problem. What's going on here? Are we saying yes to all the states
by being spectators,
and not doing anything, because you know, like if you are there concerned for the rights of these women or those who are accused, then that will move you to do something. So I think here, my heart as an educator is moving. I think it goes back again to education. We have to educate our people, and I am happy that in this special committee that came out with the report, they are advocating one of the recommendations is that there should be a curriculum that teaches from early age this right relationships. And I think that's a good way of going forward, because I think in all of this, education will be really a key, not only of the women, but especially of the men.
Oh, yes. I picked up two things from your remarks here, my sister Alice. Going back to the where we become spectators, so we're watching, and we seem to be encouraging it by doing nothing. Silence speaks a thousand words, really. But what do you think in that sort of atmosphere, in that sort of environment, are people encouraging it, or are people sort of lack the knowledge and the know-how in handling these sort of cases, whether to have them reported or seeking going through referral pathways to police or to the counselor, or who do we go to report this? You know.
I think it's both ways. That's why what Francis has been saying, and this is what we are doing as part of this UPR consultation process is concerned, is really to raise awareness, to make our people aware that there is something that we can actually do, and not only relegate everything to civic organizations or NGOs or religious groups, but we can do something by reporting. Maybe if we are afraid to come forward, then we can do it even maybe secretly, but not just to be passive about it, not just to concede to everything that goes on without feeling. Because I think as human persons, we still have our heart, we still have our conscience that would always steer us to do something about an injustice that we see, a violence that we see, and we cannot just remain spectators.
No, absolutely. And you say, you know, sometimes we feel of the repercussions, as the consequence of actually reporting it, in a country like the UNG. So there was something, if I remember correctly, protecting defenders, I suppose, of human rights, really, in that sense.
It
becomes an issue that becomes sort of that needs a multi-secular approach. The other point that I sort of, you know, picked up from your remarks, in fact, was making reference to the SAAV National Action Plan that's sitting there from 2015. What's the course now? What do we do? Do we need to go back again and pick the plan again and push it through, or do we start looking at implementing agencies?
I think that there would be an answer to that in the, as I mentioned, the special committee.
Welcome to the Francis. You wanted to add on to that?
Yes, I can add on to that. I think the issue that we actually find out, and partly when we, I remember too well, when we advocate or when we lobby with the permanent missions, and that's one of the process of UPR, we have to lobby. So we discuss those issues with Australian ICOM and European Union through online platforms. And we find that enforcement and implementation of the policies was the part that's so lacking in this nation. We do have some good laws. We do have some good laws, like, you know, you can't take kidney health, that's for children. Protection Act, that's, those acts are there. We got quite a number of policies as well. If you can hold our court, we got, you know, gender-based violence policies and national policies, and, you know, in terms of education, national education plan policy, you know, all of these policies that we have. But the real challenge is for us to enforce and make the
implementation of it.
Implementation, that remains one of the biggest challenges, I think, in this nation.
We are a country that they're very good at making policies, and we have some of the very good policies probably in the world, you know, right here, but implementing it. And so what is it? How do we and why do we lack the implementation part of this? Because it goes back again, when we're able to implement this, we're able to prosecute and punish, yeah, as perpetrators appropriately. Implementation, is it the mechanics of who does what and how they do it down the line from the from a policy when you drag it? I don't know.
You're correct. And that's then something like we actually, and I personally work with patients for social accountability. And this is a different discussion in that as well. And we're looking at platforms. But that's something about going through this. Actually, you know, we're looking at we should actually create a platform. This is a different discussion about this. A platform where you bring everybody together, and I believe I personally I would say that would be the best option, because if you have a decentralization platform, that's something that you get everybody involved and in the decision making, they are aware of what is happening to their life. I believe that they would come forward and say, yeah, okay, I'm getting involved. So I do what's happening on the ground and sort of thing. Okay, I shall report through this process and sort of thing. And that's something that, as I speak, we are actually exploring, but it's a different thing.
Yeah, but are you suggesting that the policies are probably created or put together in isolation, not in a consultative manner? They are consultative.
Yeah.
And not in isolation. But then the
implementation part. So I think it also will take a lot of political will in order to see this through, from our parliamentarians to the provincial governments, to the district level governments, to the local level governments, because it's something that you have to pass on. From top down or from down. And so it goes that it works that way. Like from the grassroots, it goes up, and from the top, it goes down. So it will work that way, I think. And in the priorities that I was telling you, immediate priorities, number three was that of sorcery accusation related violence.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they have recommendations 25, number 25 to 30 for that. And they said that this plan, National Action Plan, should be resourced in order to address this increase in SAR cases around the country. Okay, so it's already there. These are the top priorities for the Special Parliamentary Committee that inquired into gender-based violence, and they just submitted a report to Parliament on the 12th of August, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 70 recommendations there, and out of those 70, immediate priorities include the one on SARB, as well as the we were talking earlier about women participation in parliament, as well as the reserved seats for women.
We'll come to that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you take note of the Special Parliamentary Committee overseeing this, and on the recommendations they're making a reference to this SARB National Action Plan to be resourced.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. From 2015, and it's like 5-6 years now.
Yeah.
And, but the committee, the parliamentary committee, the coalition of parliamentarians, which is the council together, it's been headed by, chaired by the Honorable Charles
Sable,
and deputy, of course, governor for East Pacific, the Honorable Alan Burt.
Alan Burt.
How is part of this? Is some really big, strong men on the floor of parliament to take the bull by the horn, really. Let's go for a quick commercial break. We'll come back again. Our discussions continue with Sister Alice Valencio and Francis Marai. Part of the 20 Days of Human Rights Activism, especially a review, the Universal Periodic Review, and especially in the performance and indicators of where Papua New Guinea is in terms of gender-based violence and equal participation for women. UPR, Universal Periodic Review, into the third cycle now. And we are a country that signs up to a lot of conventions internationally. And from there, we come and we write up policy after policy. Groundbreaking ceremonies we go through to launch these policies. And then what? What do we do? All right. As we speak, in fact, and we take a swipe of this, really, streaming it down to, you know, women, the rights of women in particular. And just yesterday, in fact, we marked the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Well, guess what? As I speak today, as we are here in the studio today, one woman, one girl, or a child or somebody's going through violence now, you know, what do we, you know, and it's horrific. We see this. People actually take videos of this. They put it up on social media. And they watch with fun in watching this going. What is our silence? What does our silence mean? Sometimes silence actually speaks a thousand words. But can we convert it and put it into action, into stopping this violence that's happening? And my guest, in fact, Frances Mara and Sister Alice Palancio, we look at women and gender-based violence, especially accusation-related violence without a doubt. Somebody will have to get the blame for this. Innocent person, really, in that sense. But in that context as well, we also have this other violence that's inflicted on our women folk, domestic violence. Can we come to that, Sister, and we want to speak of that? In fact, and thank goodness we already have a parliamentary committee in the highest office overseeing this. But then again, down to prosecuting and punishing people and implementing a real problem. Domestic violence. It can be very harsh sometimes, can it? Your view on this is so
missing. I was shocked when, again, I saw figures. No? Yeah. And I'm going to read these figures, yeah. Only just the numbers first and what they represent afterwards.
Yeah.
So the numbers are 1.81%, 1.5 million, and 2. What do they represent? They give us an alarming state of gender-based violence in PNG. There is one woman who is beaten every 30 seconds. So as we speak, a woman is being beaten 2 every minute. There are 81% of PNG gender-based violence perpetrators are husbands or partners. That's intimate partner violence.
Intimate partner violence. Yeah. Somebody very close.
Yeah. And 1.5 million gender-based violence victims are victims every year in PNG. 1.5 million. If you have half of the population of PNG, let's put it at 5 million, 1.5 million, that represents what? Close to 40% of the women?
That is a big chunk of the population.
And 2 is for the doctors. There are only 2 doctors per 2,000 people in PNG. That how can they attend to all this?
Mm.
And we don't even, the women are not even reporting. They are afraid to report. The people around them are not reporting. So who is going to report it?
Mm.
And when I read that the one of Miss Kennedy, who was murdered last year, and when I read the accounts that, you know, 3 men just dropped off her dead body in the hospital, and the husband was just sitting there waiting for the 3 men to go back, and he drove off after those 3 men deposited the body. I was just thinking, where are we? What is this? What is this? This is an intimate partner of this woman. And you don't know how many cases we get every year. I, as an educator, I get to counsel some of the students in the institutions that I have taught, and you will be surprised that a good number of them really have experienced violence one way or another at home or with their partners. So it's something that is really alarming. For a Christian country like Papua New Guinea.
But the steps you actually gave are quite important. And those steps will actually give us stepping stones to putting measures in place, I suppose. And the parliamentary coalition says in its recommendation to resource a national plan. It's going to be resource on statistics, a bit like what you've given. Now, while we're there, a friend of mine has just WhatsApped me a video. You know, and this is just reminding me again. Hey, Captain, good morning to you. Thanks for this. And this is a very horrific video. I'm just going to show a little bit of what's going on here. And I've watched it a few times, and I've stopped because I can't. I just can't go to the end. There is a woman who's actually, as you say, tied up to stakes here, and has been tortured brutally and gruesomely. Have a look at this, you know. And so we've got this. We've got bystanders in the background there. We've got people there. And this is actually on social media. what do we do about this? You know, is it enough law or people to actually see what's going on there? Somebody will know and recognize those around us. Have it reported. You know, you can see it just in the background now, and I'm going to have to stop this video because every time I watch it, I get disturbed. You know, but this is the reality of what we've been faced with. Resourcing this national action plan in a way. Sister, can I come back to you? And Francis, feel free to come on this as well.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know, we're going to go on talking and we'll keep talking, but we need to start seeing some action and something taking place now, because every 30 seconds, you say, a woman, one woman is going through, is experiencing some form of violence.
That one is coming from the, these statistics are coming from the website of the Coalition of Parliamentarians. I got it from their website and I said, oh my gosh. And it really just stood out because you just see the numbers first, like 1, 81%, 1.5M and 2%. So what do the numbers stand for? And when I read it, I saw those figures, I said, oh my goodness. So as we're speaking here, you know, there are women out there in different parts of the country who are undergoing all forms of abuse and violence, and it is shocking.
And it's happening also right here in the nation's capital as well. We can go on with social accusation related violence or domestic violence for that matter. But we also have, yes, women, equal participation of women, all right, in leadership roles and what have you. So we'll probably come to that on the other side of this commercial break. Okay, and again to the, we go back again to the master plan, really, the Universal Periodic Review, and we stream down to equal participation of women. I'll start again with Francis, yes? And the UPR, it also addresses, yes, there are recommendations, I suppose, in equal participation. I don't know if that's... I could be asking a very terrible question here for you, but if you can, yes, looking at that. But equal participation of women, it's always been in Papua New Guinea, it's always usually an unequal playing field. You know, it's male are still dominant, yes? Why, can I just ask as a you know, part of the conversation here, is that, okay, so why do we need women to lead when we, you know, men can lead, really? I don't know. You know, just because the world says that we need to have that, you know, some representation of women. What is it, you know?
Well, yeah, that's a difficult question. Sister would know better, but for me, I would say, like, starting from my family, I would say my mother actually contributed a lot to who I am now.
Oh, yes.
That would be the simple way how we can see.
Mm-hmm.
So loving, brought you up, you know, when you were small, and that's something I would say. From my observation, only for that, I would say women make decisions.
Mm. And they probably make better decisions for them, you think?
Yes, it is. In a way. In a way. Naturally, they have that love, you know, at the beginning, bringing up, you know, myself, yes, like everybody, you know, as kids and all that, they've got that love. And I think love is something, like, very, very important. And, you know, coming back to us as religious and Christians, love is very important, because once you have that love, you have that kind of empathy, and you know, you wish to help people and make sure that, you know, they receive the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think mother does that. That would be my observation. So I would say women would be a better candidate.
Mm-hmm.
To make wise decision or good decision, you know, sympathize and empathize with you and say, oh, yeah, you went for that, let me sort of thing, you know, make sure.
Something about the motherly love is quite different. Yeah. You don't find it in fathers, of course, you don't. It's a motherly thing, really.
It's nurturing, it's in it. Yeah. Nurturing is in it in a woman because of, you know, this capacity to generate life.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that that bond there. He said, there's somebody who said, what you're just saying now, that a woman brought you into this world, so you have no right to disrespect one. Because you're put out by your mother. Mm. Women generate life, and we are very nurturing, no? While we think with our head, so we have many top women here in Papua New Guinea, and we have also the women in parliament have been there, seven of them since 1975. Mm. But I think the quality that they are bringing forward, as Francis already said, is that kind of nurturing, with love, with care, this gentleness, this tenderness. Mm-hmm. You know, that maybe the men also have that, mm-hmm. but you know, that is something that is quite innate, yeah. in a woman. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you have. And maybe I think, yeah. I will have a little answer for you, mm-hmm. in the words of Mr. Dick Wagner, who says he is the UNDP's representative, and he says, it remains an impediment to national development. Parliament does not reflect half of its population.
Okay, so meaning a population are women.
Exactly. Exactly. And Parliament work best when they reflect the views of all people. So getting women into the national parliament is essential to achieving this. Mm. To achieving this. And disappointingly, you know, PNG is one of the five countries that don't have women on parliaments, right. out of 235 nations. So I think we don't want to be in the last five. We want to go up the ladder.
Yes.
And we have to do something about that, starting with the 2022 elections coming up.
Yeah. And so when we speak about women there, in fact, do they? Women probably speak better and about women issues than a man would in power. Right now, it's all male folk, yeah. in the 10th National Parliament, not one woman.
Not one woman.
How are they addressing women issues? Maybe miserably, probably. In a sense, if we get a woman in there, we probably might be able to do, yeah. Do better, in fact. And she speaks as a woman herself, yes? Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm going to go for a quick time call at 10 o'clock. You don't mind if I can hold it for just a bit more, a few more minutes?
Sure.
As we go through this, because...
You don't mind at all?
There you go. We're just barely touching this, in fact, when equal participation of women in leadership role and in preparedness for the 2022 National General Elections... the talk there, the temporary special measures is probably looking at having five regional seats or so for women. What they had initially back 22, you know, reserve seats, and if that was too much, in fact, they brought it down to, I don't know, they're now down to five. Is that enough? We've got, 22 provinces, four regions. Is five regional seats enough? You know, well, what do you think about that? Our discussions continue as we take this time call. And my guest, Francis Marai from the Marais Brothers, and Sister Alice Folancio, the Institute of Mary Help of Christians, my guests this morning. Running off the back of the Universal Periodic Review and awareness around various issues, we touched a little on the rights of children. And now today, in fact, we're looking at the rights of women. We've looked at gender-based violence in the form of assault, social accusation-related violence, and domestic violence as well. Now, in leadership roles, equal participation of women in light of the upcoming national general elections. Coming to you, Sister Alice, since 1935, this is the 10th parliament we're going through now, and with our 8th prime minister. There you go. Next election will mark, or we'll see, the formation of the 11th parliament. Now, we've had, and my memory plays me right, five, six women so far, yes, seven women since 1975. I make mention of Walietta Klaus, Nina Baija, Delilah Gorilojaya Kosa, and Julie Soso. There you go. We were hoping, and with high anticipations, that we would do better, even better than that, in the last elections. But guess what? Not one woman was selected. What are the challenges? Where are we in getting a woman? Is it because of the way culturally and how Papua New Guinea is, you know, macho, men-dominated in a way? Or I don't know. Does it play a role, you know?
Well, yeah. can I speak before I start with saying more? I agree with you. When we were when we were speaking, I actually know that cultural barrier, I think that's something that I wish to share, and I think that's the most kind of play my observation. Actually, in the the way we think that men's they do better, or our cultural way is women is from the house. She's a housewife, she couldn't make decisions. I remember that when somebody posted on Facebook said that everybody was against him back then. And my observation would be that's the biggest ever entrance in sort of things. I understand that there's a spotlight initiative from UN as well, working on that, which in a sense bringing those issues on women. But going back to politics and leadership and this chain, I would say the biggest ever difference is the cultural mindset. That's the biggest.
And it's going back again, playing with the mind and making a change, I suppose, for Peter Winston. Yeah?
That's correct.
I agree with Francis, and again, I would have to go back to one of the things that can help us change that is, again, education. I think education is really the key, because there's an African proverb that says that when you educate a man, you educate an individual, but when you educate a woman, you educate a generation. So I think just based on that, I think it really has a lot to do with the cultural mindsets and the paradigms that have been there. But I think that slowly, in time, even now, as I was sharing with you my personal experience with my students, those who have been my students in both in DBTI and in St. Peter Chanel, when they get to open their minds, when you give them facts and when they see the things there, then they start thinking, they start reflecting, and they are also ready to change their mindsets, and they can be the big the multipliers, you say that the game changers in their villages, in their communities, when they go back, when they do the little advocacy, because at the end of that course that I was telling you that they gave, I asked them to make like a little plan of what they can do, and most of them said that when I go back to my village, to my community, I am going to give an awareness on what I have just learned about gender-based violence. And to me, that is already, you have 90 students, if like even a third of them only do that, then you already are multiplying, this awareness that it doesn't have to be accepted as a fact that I will be beaten up when I came into a relationship, that I am born into this. No. And the men also to change their mindset. This is talking about gender-based violence, but it will be the same, I think, for the equal participation of women in parliament. And in fact, again, let's go back to the special parliamentary committee. Yeah, they have, again, as part of their immediate response, is the reserved seats for women that you were talking about. So they said that the government should immediately finalize legislation to introduce reserved seats for women in parliament and sufficient time for laws to be enacted, amended, in advance of the 2022 national general election. The committee does not ever again want PNG to have no women in the national parliament and supports reserved seats as temporary special measure to address this risk. So I think it's good that we have a coalition of parliamentarians who are so much into this, and I think they will be the ones to move this forward in the parliament to be able to do something in time for the 2022 elections, although our time is really very limited.
That's where I'm a little bit concerned. Time is very limited, but they could move something, they can push something through in parliament before the issue of race. In April, I think, the issue of race for the 2022 national elections. However, this is where the problem will probably be. When they push that through and they get enabling acts, I suppose, or legislation to act this upon reserve seats and the temporary special measures. People, general population, citizens, how do we understand this? And this is probably where it would be to carry out a win. Would we have time? Because, again, the way the government is done, it's a Westminster government. We are elected to parliament by the people, for the people. And if people don't understand this again, I don't know if there's going to be enough time to actually carry out awareness, because the voting power rests with the people, really. And that's probably where we're going to miss out, I suppose, in terms of education and awareness.
But I think there was something started already, because in this, in the press release of the UNDP in July 2020, they were already raising greater awareness among potential women candidates on how to register to contest in the 2022 national elections. So I think, like, you know, efforts have been there already.
And it's been ongoing together with the registered political parties and candidates. Dr. Alphonse Geller has been doing regional awareness in various centers on empowering our women folk, who are probably raising their hands now for the next elections. And so that's something that's been going on as well. And it's been looking at women who are potential candidates.
That's right.
But I'm interested.
And we have many. There's a mine of very qualified women who can run for different seats in these national elections. Mm-hmm. You know.
But that can be very well said if we're going to have many women who are already putting in potential women candidates. However, the voting power again is on the people. And
again,
people need to be educated. Yes, we'll go on for it. All right. Okay. Some concluding remarks as we wrap up our talk back with you. And sister, maybe from your point, in fact, some take-home messages that you'd like to leave for our listeners in terms of gender-based violence, GBV, and I suppose equal participation of women as well. I don't know, in a couple of words, you want to sum up things for us, and I'll come to Francis as well.
So it's just, I'm going back to education, because that's my, I'm an educator, a solution educator. So I think education will have a lot to do in raising the awareness, in changing mindset, in changing paradigms in all the exercises that we're doing of getting more women elected into parliament, equal participation, gender-based violence. And I'll just maybe end with these words that I got from Michelle Obama, the former first lady, and she said, "The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls." So I think we should be able to measure up.
They did stop. No questions. No more comments. And I said it again, Sister. This is a really powerful one from Michelle Obama. Yes.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
No argument. Dead stop. Full stop. Bang there. There you go. Francis, you're not going to debate that from Michelle Obama. Yes.
All right. I think that has some. I think for me, like I said, love would be the term. If only that we love each other, we create peace. You know, I actually read this Bible now, Galatians 5:22. It speaks about love, joy, peace, and patience. Sort of things. So I would say we as people have to have such a kind of, in biblical terms, they would say there's a fruits of spirit. Yeah. We need to have that, because I actually can't even imagine anything. You have to have love, peace, so that you see your fellow citizens and people and women as your partners, you love them, create peace with them, speak with them, and sort of thing. So I would say it's better for us to actually reflect on those sort of themes that would actually help us to move forward. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so okay. I. Yes. Oh my goodness, Francis is saying something very, very biblical, and I ended up with Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
No, but I think the foundation of all this, of course, we know is that we are all created equal in God's image and likeness. As men and women, I think that could be the parting words for me.
No, I agree. And I feel like, you know, we've squeezed everything here. It would, you know, specific issues like gender-based violence, and particularly with some, can be a forum on its own. Domestic violence can be a forum on its own. Women equal participation can be on its own as well. But we tried to do this in a jiffy in 1 hour, and I realize now we're just on the top. We need to go in depth into this again, and I'm hoping the other discussions, probably in the future, maybe next week, can carry on with these discussions. There's awareness as we head up for the national general election. But let me thank you both. Thank you very much for coming, Sister Alice Valencio from the Institute of Mary Health of Christians. There you go, and Mary's brothers, of course, Francis Marine. Thank you again.
Thank you, Doctor.
If I don't come across both of you, Merry Christmas. Got it already from me.
I really
you'll be coming on, Francis.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.